Blog Talk Radio.
Not alone. Good evening, everyone. This is Wes Roberts, sitting in at the big desk for Leslie Mitchell Clark, but only for about 1 minute. I just want to remind everyone that tonight's show is a pre-taped episode, and it's with our friend and good buddy, Robert Mason. Robert, as many of you will know, is very active in the UFO community in Perth, Australia. He is a good friend of the show. In fact, he's making his third appearance tonight. Robert has all sorts of good advice, good things to say, and I think one of the things I'll emphasize in tonight's pre-tape show is that you can't do this on your own. You really do need help, and I know he needs some of your help too. So I'm going to ask you to listen to the interview with apologies in advance for minor technical glitches with the recording quality. We did record this over Skype. But listen to the interview, enjoy, and if you like what you hear and want to get in touch with Robert, there are many ways how, especially through Facebook. So following is Leslie Mitchell Clark and myself, Wes Roberts, interviewing Robert Mason in a pre-tape we did a couple of days ago. Enjoy.
We are not alone. And a very, very good evening, everyone out there. This is your host, Leslie Mitchell Clark, and I would very much like to welcome you to another episode of Contact. And I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and the producer of Contact, Mr. Wes Roberts. Good evening, Wes. How are you doing?
Hey, Leslie. I'm doing good. We're enjoying the great outdoors here.
Indeed we are. As much as I will explore the great outdoors, I am the kind of girl that doesn't go back to nature. I go back to the hotel.
Yeah, I got that.
That's my MO. But I'm okay on the deck. We're on the deck, so excellent. And we are very excited because we are welcoming back to the program one of our dear friends, and also he's going to be joining us for his third guest spot, mm-hmm. And I'm talking about Mr. Robert Mason. And Robert Mason is a ufologist. He's involved in research. He's also quite a photographer and videographer, and he is the leader, I believe, of the Perth, Australia CE5 Protocol Group,
yes.
Which is, of course, the individuals who have taken this amazing process from Dr. Stephen Greer and are utilizing it in the field and, in fact, generating an awful lot of wonderful contact. So there you go.
Yeah, we can't wait to get into that, and I don't think we'll have any time to fill in, but we should just mention, too, that we're always on the go, and we'll let you know in this show that plans are underway for the Alien Cosmic Expo 2016.
That's right. It's going to be another star-studded event, and hopefully in the very near future we'll be able to release some information. So we're looking forward to that. And before we bring on Robert, I did want to thank our generous sponsors. I would certainly like to thank Euphoria and the Euphoria Chronicles and Mr. James Borg, Charlie Kundalini, and all of the wonderful people at Euphoria. They have been incredibly supportive to us throughout the years, and we do appreciate it more than we can say. So, James Borg, big shout out to you, the founder of Euphoria and Euphoria Chronicles. We would also like to thank Conspiracy Culture, which is not just a bookstore. That would be too limiting to call it a bookstore. It's really a community center, resource center. And Mr. Patrick White, Patrick and his lovely wife are the owners of Conspiracy Culture. They run a prestigious speaker series. Patrick is also part of Modern Knowledge, which has done some amazing tours across Canada, and he's also the advisor to ACE, Alien Cosmic Expo. So Patrick White and Conspiracy Culture, conspiracyculture.com, a lot more than a bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to thank Enchanted Reveries Jewelry, beautiful handcrafted jewelry with a touch of magic, all lovely elements, pewter charms, just beautiful. So you can look at all that gorgeous stuff by logging on to enchantedreveries.etsy.com. And we would also like to thank VarietyStoreProductions.com and our dear friend Mr. Greg Summer. He is a fantastic supporter of Contact and really has a full-service studio. He can do anything. So Greg Summer, Variety Store Productions, and the Canadian Hypnosis Convention. We'd also like to thank them, and that will be happening
this
October.
Fall, yeah.
That's right. Looking forward to that. Okay. So I think that's all our housekeeping for now. We have some very exciting guests coming up in the next month or so. We have experiencers. We're going to have Kathleen Martin joining us in September.
Right on. Yeah.
A lot of wonderful guests coming up, so do stay tuned. We will always post our guest on the Blog Talk Radio's show page for Contact.
That's right, and I think that takes care of everyone. And if anyone we mentioned, if your ears were burning, we were talking about you today. So there.
And I should mention, folks, that tonight's show is pre-recorded because our guest is, of course, joining us from Perth, Australia, and he's 12 hours and probably about 25 years ahead of us here in the provinces. So for his convenience and for our convenience, we are pre-taping. And next week we'll be live once again. But for tonight, we cannot have any listener calls, and the chat room is not happening.
Right.
So there you go. All right. So, Robert, are you there?
Yeah. How are you, Leslie?
Oh, just wonderful. It's such a pleasure to hear your voice. And what kind of a lovely day are you having in Perth today? Is it sort of cool still?
It's actually pretty. It's actually raining, I think, outside.
Oh boy! All right. Hmm. Well, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Thanks for having me back as well. Thank you, Leslie, and thank you, Wes.
Oh, you're welcome.
We're very pleased. And as I was mentioning when I was introducing you, Robert, I know that you're very active. I believe you're the founder of the Perth CE5 group. And can you tell me a little bit about what you guys have been up to lately? I've seen some wonderful things posted up on Facebook.
Yeah, because for myself, like, having such full-on experience with them, it means more to myself than anyone else. It's kind of hard sometimes to get people to really go with me there and still want to, do you know what I mean?
Yes, like, well, I think all experiencers, Robert, have those kinds of feelings sometimes of alienation, so to speak, pardon the pun, but Wes, you can speak to that a lot more effectively than I can. Have you had feelings of like not trusting people or worrying about how they might perceive you or being dismayed by things when you tell them the truth about yourself?
It's not so much even that. We can demonstrate and show people. There's this one at the moment, and it's and for like the last few nights I go out and look for it. It'll be flashing. It just flashes all over, like different locations, different times, all over the, like, basically just right above my house. Mm-hmm. And if anyone was really coming to have a look at that, you can't explain that. But it's just again, sometimes it's just getting people there to have a look at it as well as another thing. I'm in the process of going to soon, I think next week, purchase some night vision optics.
Oh, wonderful.
So we can get some real good footage of these things and then get it out there, then hopefully show it to some of the people that I can show it to now through the media in Australia.
Right.
And hopefully get someone's attention and get someone coming with a serious mind to come and have a look at it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I don't see why not.
Well, yeah. Because
I want to make more progress in this as well. And just between doing this and my book recently, I've had to put the book aside definitely because I need more help doing that. But So yeah, I really want to give this a go this summer coming up. So if anyone out there is listening and wants to in Perth wants to take part, let me know via Facebook. That's Robert Mason on Facebook. Because yeah, me and a few friends are definitely committed and keen on getting a group of people together and giving this a real shot, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Robert, there's so much activity from our perspective, what we see going on in Australia. I mean, it just looks like things are just popping all the time.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, do you think this might be due, at least in part, to the relationship that the Aboriginal peoples have, perhaps with the sky beings? I mean, I think we certainly can relate to that in Canada because, of course, we have Native Canadians who also have deep traditions of communication with sky beings, and they conduct ceremony regularly to bring in these beings. Do you think that kind of thing also goes on in the Aboriginal communities?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Never having any real clear instructions or knowing what I should do, because obviously what had happened, obviously this has happened for a reason, and trying to always remain grounded and level-headed about it all, not get too carried away. A few things happened, which I was hoping if you wanted to, we could talk about it tonight regarding what happened with my brother and the moon and stuff, and then I was left me even more with more questions. I went on a little holiday I went to a trip to Europe and I wanted to go to Egypt and stuff, but this was in 2013-2014, and this was just before the ISIS thing really started kicking off.
Right, of course.
Yeah, and so I didn't go to Egypt, and I stayed where I could in Europe, and I was surprised to see like all the tours you go on and all everything basically revolving around their castles and all their ancient stuff. It's all around what they would call mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And like old mythology and ancient stories and stuff like that. But myself, seeing what I'd seen in Perth and experienced what I did, I was supposed to look at everything with different perspective. I was a little bit more inclined to believe the stories and stuff that they were telling on these tours and about all these castles and gargoyles and other stuff like that. So I get to Prague, and that's when there's a clock there, and it's like one of the third oldest clock, and it's the oldest running clock in the world.
Mm.
And that's when I learn about, they talk about the sun catcher, and also the ancient Aboriginals talk about that as well.
Yes.
And basically it's in referring to that, and it, you go to through all the mythology of it all and stuff. And it comes down to the lowly may effect great things, and the despised of earth may rise to heights which even the mighty cannot obtain.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, a meaning of what I'm trying to get at, that is that even just anyone out there, even if you don't think you can make a difference, I think that definitely we can all get out there and make huge differences. Mm-hmm. And we can all connect with our star friends and stuff.
And you know, as an experiencer, Robert, every time you make a media appearance like this and talk about your experiences, you give other people courage to do the same thing. Isn't that right, Wes?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was I'm not going to say applauded, that's the wrong word, but I was given some compliments about being out there at a couple of recent events that Leslie and I were at. One was a small community meetup event, and the other was ACE.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a couple of people said, well, hey, that's pretty brave of you to get out and speak about this, and I feel like I must share. I think that's part of my duty.
Yeah.
You feel that way too, eh, Robert?
Of course. Sometimes I feel like I'm not doing enough, even though I'm doing everything that I possibly can.
Yeah,
I just don't want to let anyone down, or just don't want to let myself down as well, I suppose.
Well, I think sometimes we're, our star friends are a lot more impatient than we are. You know, we want results like now, like yesterday. In fact, you know, speaking of the book thing, I mean, I'm almost embarrassed to tell you, but, you know, Wes and I have been working on a book for quite some time, and you know, it's not ready yet. It will be ready this, you know, this year, but it's you know, other things have obstructed our progress sometimes, you know, so we do all that we can, but I think it's good to be patient, and I know you're doing everything that you can as well, for sure. And tell me, Robert, have you had some communication experiences recently? In other words, sometimes when you are, say, with the CE5 group and you guys see some lights or whatever, do you have a sensation of communication?
Yeah, I do personally all the time myself. Just for example, when you talk about the CE5 groups and stuff, I don't really have a solid CE5 group operating at the moment. I got friends and stuff that I can work with and show them, but nothing that's really. I don't want to disappoint you either
by saying that.
My head's been in this, like, trying to write this book and get this other thing going, and then I realized, like, everything in the world was passing me by trying to write this book that I don't know if I could was even gonna really be worth writing. I definitely don't want to sound negative or anything like that, because I'm always positive, and it's always a good thing, and there's heaps of good stuff I want to talk about today. But just on my front of getting the C5 teams and stuff operating, I've had to put that on the back burner. Yeah, I'm sorry to say. But I can give you some excellent examples of myself. Well, it was only like 2 weeks ago, or actually I'll say that's about a month or two ago. One of many times I missed the last train, and I had to walk home from my train station about 5 or 6 kilometres away home. Mm. And I missed out going to a friend's fancy dress party and all this other stuff, and I was walking home and I was thinking to myself, oh, did I do the right thing tonight by going and helping an old friend and doing all this other stuff? And as I thought that, just got this big shooting flash, like this big, I don't know, I don't think anymore that these things are shooting stars, just the way they just, the synchronicity of them. Mm-hmm. But it just come flying over the top of me and just lit up the sky, and then just, yeah, then another big flash just disappeared. And then, yeah, and I thought, oh, that's wicked. That's them communicating me again. And then a few more times that night, just when at certain times, like if I'm really in good contact with them, or like you said, if I feel like what did you say before, Leslie? When you're making contact,
like just a sense of communication, like there's a presence there, you know, that feeling.
Definitely. When the connection's real strong, I feel like I can ask them questions, and they'll respond to reasonably primitive, to reasonably simple questions, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to ask them yourself truthfully in a way that they will respond, and they'll flash to the answers, sort of thing. It blows my mind, to tell the truth.
I've heard that they do that they respond with flashing, so there's real telepathic communication going on,
I'd have to say that for sure, 100% for sure. And then when there's times where if I need, like there's been multiple times, let's say since we've spoken last, I've shown at least 20, maybe 30 new people, shown them, but the people, I don't like to say this or be negative about this in any way, but a lot of people's their own things will get in the way of it.
Oh yeah, bias.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like I can show them the old mates, but what happens from there on, it's up to them at the end of the day. And if some people, the old mates know a lot more that goes on in people's minds and stuff, I think. So you sort of got to have to be a good person as well for them to want to associate with you as well, I think.
Oh, I think that's absolutely true, because as you say, you know, the old mates, they can't communicate with people who have low vibrations.
Right.
I think it's almost impossible for them to, like, get through, like, and if people are narrow thinkers or racists or anger-driven, the old mates just can't punch through that that divider almost, really. So you already know, since you are communicating with them, that you're a good person and you're on the road and you're living a good life, or you wouldn't be having these experiences.
Yeah, exactly. And when I do things in my life, like positive things to help other people, or even if I just take 5 minutes just to talk to someone or just help someone, then I find that the activity with old mates, they increase their activity, they encourage that.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I'll stand by anything that I say. I always stand by anything that I say.
Yes.
And yeah, definitely 100%, definitely that's a fact, I would have to say.
Yeah. And they do respond to that. There's this favorite Star Trek episode of mine, actually from Star Trek Next Generation, where Deanna Troi is explaining the world of the future to some people who have been frozen cryonically, and she says, you know, well, we passed through these terrible experiences, and once we got rid of greed and avarice, a lot of the other terrible things went right along with them. So I think greed is something that's not even really understood by our space brothers and sisters. I think they're very removed from it, and that's one of the big things that's glopping up the works. I'm sure in Australia you must be having the same issues, where there are a lot of people struggling and very few people who with, you know, most of the money.
Yeah, exactly. And starting to see a lot more on the news, people just becoming used to seeing like police just running through people's houses and armies walking down the street and stuff like that. A lot of that's happening in Australia now.
Oh, my God.
Like they'll make up like some name or some siege, like the other week, some Perth siege. Hmm. And yeah, just, what's it called? They're just getting people ready for the police to have a lot more physical
I'm from the States, so we're always afraid that like martial law is going to be declared, you know, which any president can do, and it just means the military comes in and starts running everything. But I don't want to be negative or pessimistic,
because
I really don't feel that that's what's going to happen. I think that's a possible reality if we don't, you know, get our shit together. But what's going on in Australia with regards to disclosure? Do you have government agencies that are hiding information about sightings and encounters and technology the way that we do here?
Well, I'm not sure, but like what we were saying just before, but that was not long ago. But it does seem like there has been a change in the direction of things. It seems as though I've been trying not to watch too much of the news, but when I'm looking through, I'll see that things are starting to pick up a little bit. People will get starting to. It seems as though maybe it's going to happen soon, if you know what I mean.
That the energies are increasing, that something's going to happen soon. Yeah, I think everybody sort of feels that way. Absolutely. So, Robert, have you had? I know you know you have sightings and communications in your waking hours, but have you had experiences where you think you had encounters with beings, maybe during your sleep, where you even maybe were in your etheric body and traveled with them or something of that nature?
Yeah, definitely. And that also coincides with my brother, what happened to my brother when he went missing.
Oh.
But, yeah, and also when I was in Europe, actually, I had some out there dreams. I believe I don't know if I could describe it. I was visited by something, and it told me all this information. It was, I remember it being in a dream, thinking to myself, I'm aware right now.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that was the information it was telling me was like blowing my mind. But then I was like, oh, this was all this information. I was like, oh, this is really good information. And then when I woke up, even to this day, I just don't remember any specific part of it.
Yeah. But it's in there.
But it's hard to explain sometimes.
No, I completely understand. Wes, you've probably had, I don't know how many experiences like that, right?
Yeah, I've had experiences that I thought were dreams. I know they were not dreams at this point, where I've even read some things, pieces of paper, documents. And I come out of it, and I can't recall diddly.
Yeah. But that's, so that's very, that's not unusual at all to have that experience. Brief break, I was just going to ask him about during the next 6 months, where he would like to see ufology going. Would you like to see more things in the mainstream media? Would you like to be able to have some type of improved government transparency? What do you see over the next 6 months?
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd like myself to work with like the universities or something like that here in Perth, and mm-hmm. take out some students, maybe even get involved in some classes teaching people. That'd be great.
Indeed.
And just that'd be great. And yeah, from there, once you get enough people seeing it for themselves, enough people with credentials and respected members of the community, once they start paying attention and seeing it themselves, then it's just a matter of time then, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. And I think, working with young people is a big part of this whole issue, and they're surprisingly open. I think the people being born into the world, or that were born into the world, 15 years ago, or these are really special people who are here for a specific reason. I mean, we're all special people, but these kids coming in seem to be very technologically savvy, automatically, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you as well, with that one as well. Well, my little niece, she blows my mind. She's quite advanced. And my mates' little kids and stuff, they can all use iPads and stuff better than I can use them.
It's phenomenal, isn't it? It's like they have no fear, because this is the world that they've come into, and they've come in with the skill set that is going to just put them right where they're supposed to be. But they're really, they're fearless, because they're so comfortable with the technology. So I think that's a very important thing to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
And Robert, I know you have items on your list tonight, and we don't want to steer you too far away from them. So did you want to speak about something we haven't brought up yet?
Personally, I put on Facebook the other night about how more I research and look into the UFO phenomenon and all these ET contacts and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me learn more about humans and us as a species, and what motivates us and what drives us, and sometimes the negatives and the positives.
Mm-hmm.
So I sometimes find for myself to, like, I suppose, teach someone or demonstrate would be for myself to sometimes from my own experiences, I find it's easy for myself to relate to and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, sorry. What were you going to say, Leslie? Sorry.
I was just going to say, do you think that your contact with the our Sky brothers and sisters, your old mates, do you think that it has helped you to become a calmer person or a more thoughtful person, more like them, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, I still need to work on that.
We all do.
I apologize sometimes for a lot of things.
Well, don't be too hard on yourself. No, I think that they have such a loving vibe generally that it can't help but make us better people to rise up, to sort of ascend to their level a little bit, for sure. Oh, I know what I was going to ask you, Robert. Have there been, and this is might seem like a completely stupid question, but I know there are parts of Australia that are greener and more lush, and parts that are more deserty-like, but have there been crop circles created in Australia?
It's a good question. I'm not sure exactly. I'm not sure. That's a good question.
I don't seem to ever, sure. Read too much about that, but there are, it seems
that maybe one or two.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look that up and see if there are, but I would bet that there are. I just would bet. Mm-hmm. There was a crop circle that appeared just maybe 3 days ago, of course, in the same old place, the Wiltshire area, very close to Stonehenge, right, and Avebury.
Yeah.
And an off-duty police officer saw three beings sort of inspecting the crop circle, and they were well over 6 feet tall. They were blonde, and they were wearing some type of like light-colored sort of a jumpsuit, he described. And he called out to them, and at first they didn't notice him. It was just either they didn't care about it. Anyway, he called out to them, and eventually he started to walk into the crop circle. And as soon as he walked into the crop circle, he heard a sound. He said it sounded like electronic static. He heard an incredible sound. And then he turned his head, and the three beings ran. But he said they ran not like anything that a humanoid can do. It was more like, who's the comic book character? The Flash? Oh. Is that it? It was like, in the way he described it, it was like the Flash. So the police department is very embarrassed because he came out and told his story to the media, and they're trying to discredit him or discount it because he was off duty at the time. But can you imagine?
Yeah.
There well, they were, three-dimensional, well, flesh and blood. I mean, just as real as you or I, you know, just standing there checking out the handiwork.
Well, recently I've got this little kitten. It was a tiny little kitten when it first rocked up on my doorstep. But I've got this. It's the strangest cat. I don't know where it comes from. It's only a little kitten, and I look after it every night. Like, I put food out and stuff for it. But every night, or every other night, when I go out and to initiate contact and do what I do, most of the time, more often than not, I'll be on my own. Mm-hmm. This cat will just quickly pop up. And it always just startles me, and I'm like, oh. And then I've been looking into some stuff as well about what I was trying to bring up before about Prague, and that the old astronomical clock that school got there. That's the oldest running clock and calendar on the world, on the planet. And it was obviously back in the day, it was covered up by, like, if you want to call them, the Illuminati or the powers that be. Mm-hmm. And all the scientists and the creators of the clock were, their eyes were burnt out of their head, and all this horrible stuff happened to them. But it talks about how man, if he misbehaves basically and isn't true, then the sun changes its course for a couple of hours or for a couple of days in order for man to correct his course. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting looking at, and just in regards to like Nibiru and stuff, and just, yeah, in my beliefs, because I do have a lot, my imagination, my mind runs wild, and there's a lot of stuff, because of what's happened recently, I'll hold myself back, and I won't say things, because then I'll think myself out, maybe it's not my place to say certain things, or, but sometimes, yeah, I think I remember saying that last time as well, so I got this cat that lives at my house now, and then I looked into it, and about looking after animals and things like that that can't help themselves.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's another very wonderful thing that you're doing, because if you compassion for animals, compassion for other beings is also a big part of, I think, what the our Sky Brothers and Sisters would like us to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to go. Yeah, I'll tell you if you want. I can tell you about my brother. What happened that night, my brother? If you like.
Please do, Robert. That would be great.
Yeah. All right. So with my brother, over like a course of a couple of years, his mental health started deteriorating, and my mum and my family didn't really want to acknowledge it and admit to it for whatever reason. And I could just tell that something wasn't right, and it boiled up to a point for after about a year or two. And me and my brother have always gotten along, and I love my family, and never would think for things to go to a physical altercation, but it did. And my brother, not being in full control or whatever of himself, he's punched me a few times, and then I've just said some really nasty things to him, and I've walked inside. And at that point, my brother was really, he's quite ill, mentally ill with schizophrenia and stuff. He's got in the car and he's taken off. And for 5 days, he was, like I said before, 5 days, he was just gone missing, no sign of him. The Perth Police and SES and everyone was out looking for him. And my mum was morbidly upset, was moping around the house, crying and using every resource we could to go out and hopefully find him. And on the last night, a couple of hours before what happened, I was laying in my bed and I was trying to close my eyes and just trying to escape this reality, thinking to myself, where was my old mates and if they were going to come and help me and what was going on. And in that point, I was in a completely black room and everything was completely black. In the middle of my sight, it just looked, all I can explain it is it looked like a bird maybe, but made of light, and it was flapping its wings, getting bigger and bigger as it flew towards me. And then I was like, oh, something's going on here. This is something's going on. And I thought, I'm going to ask her the question. And then the question I asked it was, it was a self-absorbed question for myself. It was putting the blame back on my brother. It was like, why did my brother do this? And then it just disappeared. And I thought to myself, oh, why should I have asked it such a question like that? I should have asked it something more like if my brother was alive or maybe where he was. And then so instantly I was overstruck even more with grief and guilt, thinking that was my chance. And then I've tried to close my eyes again, and then I've noticed this light coming in from outside the window, and I couldn't really make it out. And then I got outside, and the moon was huge that night. It was just the most biggest and brightest I've ever seen it in all my life. And I was like, and I thought to myself, geez, that's a sign there. And then I ran inside and got my mum, and she had just got some money together to use in her friend's car to go for the last drive out to look for my brother. And we'd been like 100 kilometres all up and down the coast in the hills. Mum had been everywhere looking for my brother with the emergency services of Perth. No sign of him. And we put the last bit of money in the car in the fuel tank. And I ran it past my mum. I said, and Louise, who's my mum's friend, who's driving, I said, oh, there's not a good time to bring this up, but I think we should go and follow the moon and go to where follow the moon. I think we'll find my brother. And instantly, like, they both reacted, how dare I bring that up and talk about that at a time like this. And it was because of me talking about that stuff that this had all happened. And anyway, but it wasn't the truth.
Yeah.
And this is even after I did show my mum that time when I told you last time on the radio about having them two craft come from behind the moon and me showing my mum.
Yes.
This was even a couple of months after that, and even after my mum had seen a few craft, and my mum still didn't want to believe in that these things would help us or anything like that. But then, so I'll just get to the story. So then we'd left the petrol station, and my mum was like up in arms about where we're going to go, because Perth's quite big and it's out in the bush, and if you're going to pick any road, any direction you're going to go on, you pretty much got to dedicate yourself to going in that direction to the next petrol.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to
say? Yeah.
So, but then as we're coming up to the point where the junction in the road where we can go left or right, the moon had just presented itself again, just in front of us as we come over this hill. And then even Louise was driving the car, looked into the back seat to me and goes, gee, that's not right. The moon's, what's going on here? The moon, this is not right. And then my mum said, yeah, just listen to Robert, see if he's right. And then so we drove for about 45 minutes, almost an hour, and we're getting real low on fuel. And then we're coming up, we're all in newer states near the coast, and I hadn't been out there for a couple of years, so it was all quite new to myself. And we just kept following the moon. Just kept driving until we got all the way to the coast, and then as we got to the coast, believe it or not, my brother's car was there.
Oh my God.
In my mind, of everything that's ever happened, it was a miracle.
Was your brother in the car?
Yeah, he was in the car, and he was like lost and delusioned, hadn't had nothing to drink or eat for a couple of days, and.
Oh.
Yeah, he was just in the car park and in the car, yeah. And what, the police and stuff just couldn't really... We tried to explain what had happened when I found him, and they were just... They didn't... I'm not saying they didn't believe us, but they just didn't really, I suppose, pay much heed to things like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And so did you? What happened then? Was your brother taken to hospital?
Well, he just came home, and then that really snapped my mum into it, and then that really that really got her on board. Then after that as well, she spun the whole family out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what wanted me to do other stuff, like tell my story and write the book and stuff, because I still can't explain that to this day.
Yeah. Well, you obviously got some information. You'd probably be a really good remote viewer, too, if you ever decided to do that discipline. You probably have the natural skills for remote viewing, I would really well imagine. But thank God that you found your brother before things became more severe. And if I may ask, how many years ago was this, and how is your brother today?
That was in 2013.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's really recent.
Yeah, that was after all this. That was after what had happened in 2012.
Yeah.
And then I looked into it, and then native people from South America, the Indians, and from Australia and South Africa and stuff, they all talk about trackers and guides using the moon and stars to find people that have been gone lost for hundreds of years.
Oh my! Wow.
Yeah, that amazed me a little bit.
Incredible. Well, that's quite a story. My goodness.
Did you tell your brother this story?
Oh well, of course he was a part of it, and I've trouble explaining it, trying to find words to explain it, and I think myself, no one really can understand or can really believe what I'm trying to say, but it actually happened like that, and
I completely believe you.
Yeah, it was amazing, and whereas the other stuff I can say, them lights, there may have been aliens or may have been something else. I'm not sure what they were, but they weren't from around here. But with the moon incident, I don't know how the moon could have played a part the way it did. I'm not sure.
Well, you know, Robert, that they can, they can stage things. They can, they can influence your perception in a positive way. I mean, when a lot of people who have experiences of being taken as children, they walk into fully staged scenarios. So what you could have been imagining, as the moon, could have been almost a vision in a way that you were all sharing. It could have been something like that. I remember there was a client I was working with who had some memories he was trying to recover, and he of course, like so many other people, came to me in his 40s, and he had been having experiences since he was a small child. But I remember he talked about one experience in particular where he and his family were driving through the country, and they saw something that they thought was the moon. Okay, that's why I'm thinking of this, because it was not a craft. They thought it was the moon, and they were remarking about the moon, how bright and brilliant that it was, and they were all experiencing that, and then they sort of turned off a road. And as they turned off the road, the guy, my client, said he saw, to his right across the car, that there were a bunch of Boy Scouts on their bikes riding alongside the car. So those were not Boy Scouts on bikes, obviously. But and later, of course, he did see them as they actually were, which was just not really greys, but beings that were like small humans, not greys in that sense. But at any rate, they, the way we perceive things and what we see can be heavily influenced. It's something that is kind of like hypnosis. But on some advanced scale that, we can't really understand at this point.
Yeah. Would you like me to tell me that the second time where I believed that I was swooped and maybe abducted or...
Absolutely. Yeah. Please, Robert, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry about being so nervous today as well.
Man, you're fine. You're fine. No, you're not...
Because I was thinking to myself, I've been going to... tell them about my book, or everyone's going to, what have I done, been doing? You know what I mean?
Nobody is judging. Anybody who's listening to our program is very open to everything that you are saying, and they're very.
And if there's anyone out there that wants to help me co-write my book, just let me know as well. That'd be great.
All right. you may find someone. Well, you gotta get your girlfriend, man. I don't know. Okay, so carry on. Tell us about
that.
The second time
it was quite late in the morning, or quite late in the night, early in the morning, about around 2 a.m. It was pitch black darkness, and this was in 2013 as well, late 2013. And this actually was, this may have been even early or mid 2000, this winter of 2013, just after my brother's incidents. And I was leaving a girl's house just a couple of kilometres away from my house, and I was just on a push bike, so there was no cars on the road, and I was riding down the road, and it was real cold. And as I was riding it, I was getting like a little bit of sweat and stuff like that. As soon as I would slow down and stop riding, I really feel the cold weather, so I had to try and keep up a fast pace. And I was riding against the wind, and that night with this friend of mine, I'd been showing her the lights and the UFOs and stuff in the sky, and there'd been a lot of activity that night. And then she actually was telling me how one of her friends in the Australian Air Force had extremely classified footage or something like that from when these F-17s were flying over somewhere in Australia somewhere, of these UFOs that followed them. And I tried to get my hands on that footage and obtain it, but I couldn't get my hands on it. Anyway, I was leaving her house, and I was even riding downhill, and something's just the same as before when on the 22nd of 11, 2012, when I was swooped in them pitches, and something grabbed me on the top of my shoulders and on the back of my head, and just that same feeling sensation happened. Mm-hmm. And it was physical, and I felt it. It was bang, it happened, and then I froze for fear, and I stopped pedaling. I thought, geez, that's them. I don't want to look behind me right now, because I was a bit scared. I was like, oh, I don't want to turn around and look behind me right now. I know that they're out there. And then so I just kept riding, and I kept riding a little bit faster. Then I went around the corner, and I didn't really want to look behind me because I knew they were right behind me. And I kept riding. I got home, and I put my bike up against the tree. And then there was like not many clouds at night, but there was a couple of clouds. And as these one or two clouds started separating, this quite bright orange, it was definitely old mates, was moving in different directions. It was getting bigger and bigger. So it seemed as though it was descending down to the planet. And in that moment, I thought to myself, geez, yeah, sometimes I act tough and that, but this is scaring me, you know, this is happening again. When the moment's about to happen, you know, it's about to happen, it's very intense. And I was like, oh, no, it's going to happen again. And then, so I quickly went inside, and then I don't remember much, but I remember waking up the next day at a weird time. I woke up, and I was for some reason I was completely naked, and all my work tools were piled up in a pile outside, and it was raining the next morning, and all my tools and stuff were outside just in the rain.
Wow.
I didn't really go back to work after that. That was like a sign. I think they didn't want me to go to work. They wanted me to keep doing this.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
My goodness.
And the weird thing about that was the dreams that I had regarding that night, I can picture in my mind vividly, like flying up from my suburb to a certain height, where then I don't remember anymore after that. But after that dream, I've been able to, I have that memory now of flying up from where actually they touched me. So
that's wow. Did you feel as if you were? I mean, were you? Did you feel 100%. As if you were in a craft, or did you feel that you were just traveling without having to be in a craft?
Well. If I had to explain it, it's like, because I really wouldn't call it unless I was really certain. So and there's two times I know that's happened, and so the second, obviously the first time with the photos, and then the second, and all that stuff happened, and then the second time, it was like they made physical contact with me, and then in my mind I was like, it was like I knew that what was going on, it was them that was going on. And then I was sort of just on autopilot, and I had to just quickly ride home and just play out my little part, because something else was happening, whether or not was on board a craft or whether I couldn't tell you that consciously knowing, like, maybe under hypnosis or something like that.
I'm not sure
because I've been looking into this stuff myself, trying to get answers myself, and I would like to find out. But I know for a fact that that happened like that, yeah, that night, and the dreams that I have afterwards,
Well, that's that certainly points to, you know, actually traveling. I know, Wes, you've experienced that where you've been taken and had the sensation of looking down or something like that.
Yeah, in fact, Robert, I earlier this year, it seems once a month for 3 months, I had three experiences, and every one of them, whether it was inside of a house or inside of a craft, I was taken up and I could see the landscape below me. And everything as if there was a see-through floor or something. And it's funny because just a couple of days ago I read something from one of our friends in MUFON where he sent me a link to, this was comprehensive, like the 70 signs that you might be an experiencer. It wasn't like 20 or 30, it was 70. And one of them was about flying.
Yeah. Dreams of flying, sensations of flying. And also this idea of transparent metals. This is something that that I hear about, you know, again and again in experiencers that I'm working with, where either they can see through the top of the craft where it becomes transparent, or more commonly when they are about to sort of beam down, they go to a specific room in the craft that becomes
transparent.
Becomes transparent. So I've heard that kind of thing often, Robert, for sure.
Yeah. And the thing, like, with myself, and I've got, I would say maybe 50, like, whether or not they're on Facebook or not, but there is at least 50 witnesses I would have where I can be talking about this stuff and we can go out the front and then just, then amazing things will happen. Like, I've had a few experiences where I've pointed in the sky, because I've seen this one that I've called, I call Flash and Dash now, and he seems to initiate a lot of contacts that happen, because, bang, he'll flash in and I'll see him, and then I'll know where the craft is seem going to come in from, whether or not that's a mothership or something, I'm not sure, but this could be some good intel for any of the CE5 people out there. It seems to be this one will flash, and then they'll get the movers in coming in before that, moving in away from that or from the Flash and Dash one. Well, there'll be times where I'll see the Flash and Dash one and then I'll say to people, well, look over there in the sky, and then as soon as I point up to the sky, he'll flash, or that craft will flash and do some maneuvering, and it will seem as though that I've just done that with point of the finger, and it's happened at least 10 times. And yeah, that's I wish Oprah was there to see that.
No kidding.
Yeah, because you wouldn't believe it unless you've seen it, and then it must sound like a complete loon talking about it, but that's unless you've seen it, it's pretty cool.
Oh no, yeah. You know, there's a guy here in Toronto, Robert, who, just like yourself, pretty much all he has to do is step out into his backyard, and he has sightings and they respond, and it's, you know, it's really similar to what you're talking about. He's like you. He's a kind of a magnet. They're attracted to him or show themselves to him in the most casual circumstances, and so it's very similar.
Yeah, and it's funny because I can only say once in my entire life did I ever see a craft when I was a teenager. I do see them, interestingly, but only through dreams. Mm. And they seem perfectly real to me, and I wouldn't know what one would actually look like, but I see them through dreams, and I'm thinking, okay, fine, that's how they can show them to me.
Yeah, I have, on the other hand, seen quite a few craft in the third density, you know, without a lot in when I was at university, and I've seen some things fairly recent, a few different things these past couple of years, and they seem to be solid. My husband, who makes no claims to be telepathic or anything like that, saw the a rather famous sighting called the Brewster Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
It was seen by, and Brewster is it's outside of New York City, but a little bit north of New York City, so it wasn't like a big city, but it was a massive, massive triangular craft that everybody saw. People pulled off the freeway. So
yeah, there's books about it.
There are these, you know, there are people who, like yourself, though, who just have these regular experiences all the time, And I'm sure it's something very special about you, really, and something really wonderful about you that they would be interested in, would be showing themselves like that. Yeah, something. Did you do you remember in your conscious memory, Robert, as a child, did you have any, did anything happen that you think might have been an experience, a contact experience when you were little? If you had any, had any experiences as a child that you felt were contact experiences of some sort, how long do you think this has all been going on with you?
For a long time, I think, like from a dream, is when I had, when the three blue beings came into my dream, and then the middle one stood inside of me, and I was laying on the ground in what it seemed to be like in the park, or on a, it was quite a, I suppose at a young child, it was quite a scary backdrop and surroundings, and it was quite a scary dream, and I thought there were ghosts at the time, but the one in the middle was taller of the three and was blue energy, and there were no facial features or nothing like I can remember from all that, but the silhouettes of them were human-like, and the middle one stood inside of me, and I'll never forget, I woke up from that dream, aware and conscious, but I just couldn't move, and I lay there, I'm fairly sure I may have fallen somewhere in between the sun rising and it becoming daylight, and it ceasing being nighttime that night. I may have like slept or just nodded back off the conscious, like fell back to sleep for a few moments, then woken up again, and then was able to move, but I don't really remember that happening, but I do remember vividly laying there for over an hour and not being able to move.
Oh, yeah.
That was quite a thing. And another time when I was young, there was a big storm, massive storm, with my mum and dad. And it's one of the earliest memories I can remember having of my parents being together, and everything was pretty normal. And there was a big storm, and I used to have these toys called G.I. Joes, and I was playing with my G.I. and I had my favourite G.I. Joe, and then there was this big massive bolts of lightning and thunder happening right outside my bedroom window. And remember, it was shaking the house and shaking the glass of the window, and it scared me, and really scared me, because it was like a flash of light, and then 1 or 2 seconds later, bang, the lightning, so it was real close. And I ran into my parents' bedroom, jumped into bed with them, and it was the middle of the day, but my parents were in bed anyway. And I jumped in under the blankets, and then there was bang, as I jumped in the blankets, there was another flash of light, and instantly there was bang, biggest boom, and lightning hit. Lightning and thunder, and the G.I. Joes I had in my hand weren't in my hand anymore, and I couldn't find them for a couple of days, and then I ended up finding them back in my mum's bed. It was weird. My mum found them in her bed, but that was weird, and could never really explain that one. And that was weird. Yeah.
Well,
that was from a child. Yeah. It
certainly sounds. Those are, you know, sort of classic kind of, you know, memories of things having happened to you that are sort of mixed with conscious memories and stuff that you don't have total access to. But indeed, you know, it would be very unusual, Robert, for someone who has as much activity going on and sees as much stuff as you do, for you not to have been a lifelong experiencer.
100%.
You know, I mean, it just doesn't just pop out of nowhere, you know. I mean, a lot of people seem to reach a certain point in their life, and some, most frequently older than yourself, you know, people come to me in their 40s and they're suddenly having memories, and it's all there. So got the signal from Wes there. We just have a couple of minutes left, Robert. I just want to thank you so much for joining us on Contact again. It's always such a pleasure to talk to you, and certainly we're so appreciative of all the fantastic information that you always put up on your Facebook page, and all the wonderful things you do to try to increase awareness. And just know that we're here on the other side of the world giving you a lot of support.
Thank you so much, Leslie, and thank you so much, Wes.
You're welcome.
All right, and we will talk to you again real soon, Robert. Thank you once again, and you have a fabulous night.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good night.